Hey, it's Kristen. You're listening to Rational in Portland.
Welcome to Rational in Portland. I'm your host, Kristen. My guest today is Misha Webley from Hassan Hates Portland. That's right. He's the creator of what's described on the Hassan Hates Portland Instagram page as a dark comedy web series about a black man trying to navigate his way through the whitest and weirdest city in America. I know Misha's doing so many interviews right now, and he took the time to come on my show. I'm so happy about it. He's so clever. He's so smart. Everybody who helped put this together is clearly incredibly talented. And I'm just thrilled that there's something creative and clever and interesting and this hilarious coming out of Portland. I heard this show described as like Portlandia, but with black people and funnier. And please check it out. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. Shout out to my friend Adam for connecting Misha and I. When Adam told me that Misha would come on this show, I told him if I had a pillow in my vicinity, I would scream into it. And I meant it. I mean, internally, I was screaming. I was so excited to talk to him. And I'm so grateful that he came on. Thank you, Misha, for your time and for creating such a amazing piece of art that we can all enjoy. I can't wait for the next episode. The first episode dropped today on October 3rd, and it's so funny. Please check it out. Please follow the series on Instagram. Please subscribe on YouTube and enjoy my conversation with the creator of Hassan Hates Portland and many other films and creative pieces. Go to his website, go to his Instagram page, Misha Webley, and check him out. Check out the Hassan Hates Portland page and find out what else all these creative geniuses are up to. Please enjoy my conversation with Misha Webley.
Hi. Hey, Kristen. How's it going?
Good. How's LA?
It's kind of hot. I like.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. So what's the... Your podcast, what do you do with the podcast?
Nothing. I mean, I just put it out. But it's literally,
I guess, why do you do it? What sort of stuff do you do?
Because I wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to leave and I could like sit around and complain, you know, or I could just put horse blinders on and pretend like I don't see anything. But I knew I that's not me. Like the latter's not me. And the former's not felt uncomfortable. That's not me either. And I'm curious. And so I just started asking people like, hey, how did things get this way? Like, what do you know about it? Why are we spending all this money on homelessness and why can't we make it better? What could make it better? You know, just things like that. And I have, it's not just that I wanted to leave. My dad was homeless. He passed away, but he was and super, super mentally ill. My sister is a homeless opioid addict. Like this, it is. And this, I don't like seeing all these people on sidewalks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really upsetting to me. And I would like to find one of the things I've been trying to figure out is what works and then who's interested in what works. And can they talk about it to other people? And maybe somebody will listen and it'll sound good to them too. And we can make some headway on it. I don't know. I don't know how you roll back like 10,000 people on the sidewalk, but.
Yeah. No one does. No easy answers. No easy answers.
But also I didn't like in Portland, like, and I think your show illustrates this divide. As Terrence Hayes would call it, and I fit this demographic, middle-aged white lady, he might throw in the West Hills or something, who he thinks, and I don't know if you think this is true or not, and I'm not saying this is depicted in your show, but he thinks that's who is helping to hurt Portland. Like he thinks East County and other neighborhoods He'd say inner Southeast as a voting block as a problem, but the other neighborhoods get it because they're besieged by crime. They don't have money. They're going to work every day, all day. They're not like in the chatter class, which, you know, I'm definitely part of, and I'm part of the problem. I voted for Measure 110. Like, I'm totally part of the problem. He'd say, exactly. Like, he'd just point to me and be like, yeah, exactly. Like, you think you know what's right or what's good for people, but you don't, or what's maybe good for addicts, but you don't really know what that bill said. And that's true. That's all true. I felt like I was civically educated by reading a voter's pamphlet, which is now I know is really stupid. I also think there's a divide between, and I noticed it at city council, like there's a divide between, I think, not even blue dog Democrats, left of blue dog Democrats, and I'm a Democrat, and people who are further left who think, you know, riding a bike to work or instituting bike lanes literally everywhere and getting rid of cars or walking out of school in the name of climate change or, leaving school when we know PPS is like right above Mississippi and nobody can read or do math. I mean, just all these things are going to make some kind of difference. Like Portland's going to fix climate change. Just those kinds of things or obsessed with abortion, you know, looking at city council candidates and wondering if they're pro-choice or pro-life. All of them are pro-choice. I mean, it's Portland City Council. But we also don't go there for an abortion. I don't know, that are focused on all these things. And like Terrence would say, are have opinions about what's right for him, like defunding the police. Are have a different idea about how things are going and how they want them to go. And I wonder if we can't bring everybody closer together. Just by talking to people, if I talk to people for a long time, I tend to like them better. Not that I need to talk to you for a long time. I just really want to promote your show, but I tend to like them better in terms of political people. And I think other people tend to understand where they're coming from as opposed to just categorizing people. And I don't think in Portland, it's like Portland nice, whatever that means, which I don't think it's a very nice city. I don't think people here are super nice at all, but I also don't think, nobody talks to each other. Like, it's very passive aggressive in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, it's just a bunch of opinions and platitudes. It's not like questions like, what do you think about this? And why do you think that? And mm-hmm. Do you have any experience with that that would inform your opinions? Or what have you seen? What have you heard? And we're like living in silos or echo chambers or something. And I just don't know. I don't think we can fix things like that.
Yeah. Portland has a tendency to, it's its own bubble and yes, it's really self-reinforcing. So there's sort of an idea as a culture, there's this idea that Portland's sort of at the center of the world. And it's just, it's just not true, exactly, right? Like, right. You know, and so there's this idea that what Portland says about something happening around the world matters, and it doesn't. And it's really easy, to your point, to get caught up in all these things that we have no control over and not look at the thing that's happening right outside on the sidewalk, right? So that, I think part of what you're speaking to is that, yeah. Like, why are we talking about fill in the blank, you know, foreign policy, you know, when like we have our own, you know, we have very real things going on. It's not that those aren't real, it's just that we have no influence over them.
But like, right.
Especially for elected officials and people in positions of power, shouldn't we be focused on the things that, you know, that's the job you're hired for, was to take care of the city. You know, you can have opinions about whatever you want, and but like really, you know, we have to tackle our own problems. And so like it's really funny and kind of distressing sometimes to see it, but I think it happens on a big level with leadership. It happens on kind of individual level where, especially when you step outside of Portland for a while, and I've lived several other places, but you're reminded that not everybody, most people in most places aren't not everything is political, you know, people, you know, but
And I would love to live somewhere like that.
there's a way to kind of put, you know, Portland, it kind of politicizes everything. And so everything,
yes, it does,
like a kind of a bumper sticker match. Like, I have this bumper sticker, I have this bumper sticker, and it's very surface level.
Coexist.
And right, exactly.
On the Subaru. I love that joke. I mean, I had been behind one that day, the day I saw that joke on Instagram.
We all have, right?
Yes. Countless.
And so, you know, I think part of what's going on there is just we have these ideas, they're kind of academic, they're abstract, and we sort of, people stay up there and in the clouds, but we have to come down to earth and take care of things. And when things are really, right. I think you can get away with that when things are going well, you know, or even relatively well, but when the city is in serious trouble,
you know,
right,
when
you
things
know.
Were going well, and I didn't know who the mayor was and I didn't care.
Right.
And I didn't know who the city council was and I didn't care. And I just was having a good time here. I would like to live somewhere where I don't know those things, you know, I really would. I'd like to live somewhere where things just move along and everything isn't political, but I don't know. It's like, I have this, now I would like that. But at the time, I think I had this, I liked it. I think I kind of like got off on this idea that everything was political. Like, I thought it was charming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like this was the right place for me because everybody thought the same, and I don't know, why is that good? I mean, I don't think it's good now. Like, I think it's good
it's
now.
It's comfortable, to, right?
You know, but it was comfortable.
I think that's part of what happens in a place like Portland. And to be like, Portland's, there's other places like that, right? It's not just.
Well, sure. Austin. Oklahoma's as red as we are blue.
I think it's dangerous anytime you get a place that where everyone tends to think in one way, you know, that usually bad things happen, you know, like you need some friction, right? You know, it's, you know, exactly. So it's not good culturally. It's damaging too. It's not just political. It's not, you know, just economic, but like
That's culturally,
like it does a disservice to, you know, who we are as people, because life should have edges. It should be challenging, right? Like, it shouldn't just be just reinforce like our beliefs all the time, you know, like, cause you know, our beliefs are just our beliefs, you know, and it's good to be around people that you disagree with, you know, it's healthy, you know? And so there's this funny, I heard a guy talk a while back in Portland. He was an author. He came from the South. He's a Black guy. And he said, I don't remember his name, but he said something that stuck with me. He I don't think he had spent much time in Portland before the trip. And he said, well, you know, I've noticed something here outside of the South. This is the only place I've been where there's this feeling that this is how we do things here. Right. Like this is how we behave.
There's
a protocol. Right. And like, that's scary,
it's counter service.
Right? You know?
That's your table.
Right. It's
30% tip. That's how we roll.
Tip, right? This is how we roll, you know? And, but it's really true. There's this, you know, we are nice here, right? Like, people will shout that at you, you know, without seeing the irony. Like,
it's
we
true.
Are, you know, we are nice. They'll say very, very angrily, you know? So.
When you piss them off.
But you're right. But you're the one doing the thing wrong. I'm trying to be nice. So it's you know, that kind of dynamic is, you know, part of where the show comes from. It comes from a lifetime of experience in Portland, but also recognizing that behind sort of all those, that stuff that can be kind of like, it can make you mad. It can make you have certain feelings or this or that. It can be tough, but it's also really funny. Like, right. That's sort of what I recognized is that there's something really kind of funny about that. And like, I wanted to capture that, and like that disconnect, but you know, sort of between intention and reality, and sort of this kind of like self-righteousness meets reality too, meets, you know, people you're trying to be self-righteous for, you know, like, and they don't match up. And so like,
people you're being self-righteous for, I mean, that encapsulates so much of it.
Right. You know, and sort of the kind of obliviousness that goes along with that. And
yeah, like, don't you understand I'm working on your behalf?
I'm doing this for you.
I don't know you or anything about you, but I'm working on, and I don't know anything about where you live or what your subjective reality is, but I'm working for you.
Well, I'm going to assume a whole lot about you based off of how you look, because I want to help you and you need to be grateful. Right. You know, there's that idea, which, you know, at the end of the day is just another way to put people in a box and limit them. Right. You know, and
yeah,
you know, that there's never a good way to do that. That's not, that's not, you know, that's damaging all the time, you know, no matter why you're doing it, just because you have good intentions doesn't give you a pass. You know, so there's, you know, Portland's a funny place that way. Like one thing I'd like to say about it is, like, in Portland, the road to Portland is paved with good intentions, right? Like, you know,
it's people, true.
We mean well, right? It's like, well, meaning well doesn't, it's, that's not enough. And you can mask a lot of bad things behind meaning well.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And then there's kind of a tendency to us to take that at face value. You know, when people, we say, well, that person has XYZ beliefs. They believe, they think a certain way, therefore they're right. Right. You know, without saying, well, what are their actions talking about? Like, you know, like, what are their actions saying? Not what bumper sticker do they have? Not who are they voting for? Are they treating you well? Because oftentimes they're not. Oftentimes they're using that bumper sticker as a thing to hide bad behavior, you know, sometimes
like racist cudgel.
Behavior,
yeah.
You know, just, and it just, you know, so part of what, you know, exploring all that with the show, but like that, wanted to kind of break that open, because I think that hasn't been called out enough. It has, it's kind of underexplored in Portland. I think it's a
people
very
are afraid to do it.
I think people are afraid to do it. And I think from a lot of the feedback we've been hearing, I think that's a lot of what I've heard from folks from all different walks of life, is that they're, you know, they're glad someone's saying it, you know, because it's
they don't want to say it. Yeah.
They don't want to say it. It is limiting. It's limiting to all of us, right? It's self-limiting. It's limiting to, you know, it's like, we're not going to get better as a city if we're not honest with ourselves, you know, and we're not going to attract different kinds of people here if we act that way, right? You know,
that would be more of the same. Right. There'll be another guy from Berkeley who wants a yard. A white guy.
I met that guy. He waters his lawn in the summer.
I mean, I think it encapsulates your show.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was, I think that's a lot of what I'm trying to get at, and sort of what it's taken many years to try to articulate and figure out a way to capture that and talk about it, but in a way that's accessible and funny, right? You know, that's what I was saying before. It's what humor can do. It can break apart something that's difficult and complex and allow people to laugh at it by laughing at it. They can work through it, you know?
Yeah.
Portland tends to be a kind of self-serious place, right? You know, and so I think it's also really just important that we learn how to, or remember how to, sort of laugh at ourselves and see there's absurdity to it. And I think more, this maybe wasn't true 5, 6, 7 years ago, but more than ever, I feel there's a lot of people in our city, and this is true beyond Portland, right? I think there's Portland everywhere anyway. But people are kind of done with that, and they want. Mm-hmm. I think there's a desire.
That's why your show resonates.
To hear something else, and to call bullshit, basically, you know, to call bullshit. And so yeah, I think you know, this is you know, just one way to tackle something, and kind of have a different way to look at our city. A different way to understand it, and to kind of voice something that hasn't been, it's not part of the narrative, right? The city has a certain self-image it puts out about itself, but, you know, ironically, with how much the city sort of claims to celebrate diversity and all that, you know, that self-image it puts out doesn't really include many brown black folks, you know, like they never really asked us, you know, they just kind of tell us what it is, you know? And so that's always been a frustration for me and something that, you know, speaking to, because, you know, as you see, you watch the show, you know, I don't, me and so many people, folks I know, don't look at things the same way and think it's you know,
you're kidding me.
Right. You know, I think there's just a lot of silliness and a lot of silliness done in our name. And, you know, and so, you know, yeah, there's, that's sort of some of what I'm hoping to get at with the show.
You mean like people of color were not consulted about getting rid of test scores and standards for graduation to help them?
I don't know if I can go there.
Ostensibly. I mean, it's just one. It's just one. There's a billion examples.
I'll just say, you know, proof is in the pudding, you know, like how, you know, we've done a lot of things, whether it's that or other things. How are we doing on a national level just with something like education? Not great. Not really good at all. Was that what the problem? No. Is that going to help? No. You know, we're way behind. And, you know, like, again, it's really easy to either have big brand, sometimes experimental solutions, or to talk about things that aren't, you know, in our front yard. It's easier to do that than to do the hard work of what would it take to make us, you know, not 48th out of 50 in graduation, you know, or whatever the number is now. You know, that's a very difficult thing to do. So it's really easy to say, well, we can just do this one thing here or this one thing there, and without solving the problem. And I think that's kind of indicative of a larger trend or larger tendency we have in a city is to not solve the fundamental problems, you know, whatever they are. And I'm not here to tell you what they are. I could, you know, there's people smarter than me that could, but
you know what they are. I mean, you walk past, I'm sure, people on the street that could be dead. I mean, we all do, you know. I mean if you have eyes and ears, you know what they are.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, I also know that, you know, implementing them on a, you know, social or governmental level, whatever those solutions are is also difficult. And it's really easy instead to think about, if you're in a position of a leadership position, what's the thing that's going to give me a good headline, not what's the thing that's going to solve the problem. Because what the thing that's going to solve the problem is going to take years. It's not going to happen next week. But you can be doing things now. You can be working on that, or you can kind of have a pet project and that grabs a good headline and makes you look good without doing anything, right? You know, I think there's definitely that tendency. And again, that's a tendency for elected officials.
Overall, right.
That's not just in Portland, but when things just as I said before, when things are going well, that's fine. When the city's, you know, it's struggling and it's, you know, is on fire sometimes, literally, that's not okay. Like you have to put out the fire, you know, and there's a, you know, it's been a lot of avoiding of hard conversations and hard problems, you know, so that's part of it too.
But the reason I like your show is because it does allow, I think, the majority to, I mean, it looks like it. Gosh, everybody's looking at it. Everybody's watching it. I'm sure you hear it, but I haven't heard any criticism about it. I mean, I know it seems like it should be controversial, but everybody seems to be eating it up with a spoon. So, obviously you hit on something.
I think we hit on something. I think we hit a nerve. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, there's always negative feedback about things. I stopped reading comments a while ago. I just, you know, not because I don't need it. overall, it's been, you know, really, really positive and really affirming that we're saying something that needs to be said. And I've heard that from folks all around the country, you know, which is really,
fun.
You know, people reaching out. Those are, you know, a lot of times people who've lived in a place like Portland or, you know, especially Black and Brown folks who lived in just very white places and understand a lot of the humor, you know, understand like, oh yeah, I know I've been to that coffee shop before, right? Like, you know, and so that's really, you know, really gratifying. We were pretty sure making a show that we were touching on something that was bigger than us. You know, that's always kind of what you want to be doing. But like, I sort of, you know, it's our experience, but you know, it's not just our experience. You know, there's other, you know, and so we were pretty sure about it, and it struck a nerve, and that's what you want to do. And that tells you that yeah. There's a lot of other people that are seeing things the same way, and whether they can say it or not, because a lot of people don't feel like they can, or they don't feel like they're in a position to. And so, you know, I'm sure it's hard to hear for some folks, you know, it's hard to hear some of the things we're criticizing, because there's, as I was saying before, it's easy to get comfortable kind of hiding behind a certain belief system. I'm, what do you call it, Democrat and progressive, I'm whatever, Republican, whatever it is. I'm this, therefore, what I say goes, right? You know, and you know, but whoever you are, I think it always has to get called out, because that's always false. And it means you have a whole lot of blind spots. And you know, I'm, this is my hometown, so I love Portland, and I want it to succeed, you know. Yeah. And part of the way that it will do that is by kind of popping the bubble that it's created around itself. And so then it can get down to work and starting to do the things that it needs to do. And I think it will. And not just because of the show or anything, but I think that'll happen one way or the other. But it might take longer than it needs to. And maybe we could speed that up, because we've been in sort of a down cycle for a while. And you know, I think it's about time that Portland starts, you know, getting some wins. But to do that, it's going to really have to look at what's really been going on, what's wrong, and just really understand that what we've been doing, wherever you come from on the political spectrum or cultural spectrum, whatever it is, what we've been doing clearly isn't working. Like, if we can acknowledge that, then we can start talking about what we should be doing now. But if we keep doing the same thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
If we keep doing the same thing, you know, we'll end up right where we started, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a snake eating its tail or something. If we're talking about political spectrums though, don't you think in Portland at least, it's the narrow piece of the spectrum? I mean, I think it's really, I don't know. I can count on one hand the people who identify as Republicans who live here, and I'd have to take a beat. I mean, just for me, this is just my subjective experience. I'd have to like take a beat. I like you said, it's a bubble, and I'm in a bubble. I mean, a lot of this is like I'm talking about myself. I'm critiquing myself because I'm in it, completely in it. It extends from everything to the how many businesses we have left here, very few, to where you can fly out of PDX and who's flying in and how hard it is to go anywhere, really. I mean, try to book, there's no hubs, you know, try to book like a vacation. You're going to fly, a lot of the time you're going to fly through San Francisco or Seattle just to get kind of anywhere. It's expensive to fly places. It's expensive to fly here. I mean, it's very hermetic. In a way, like it's a lot of people aren't coming and going. They're just here. It's not an international city, in my opinion. I don't think it's like, I don't know that they want to be, that we want to be. I don't know that we want to be, you know, I don't know that we want to be like Seattle. I don't think people do. I don't think they want a lot of big business. But I don't know. I mean, I think the majority thinks that might be interesting, but maybe they don't know how to attract it and keep it and get it, and maybe they're afraid of how it's going to change the culture. I don't really know. But people here don't seem to realize that like not everywhere is like this,
right? And maybe that was the reason people moved here, right? I think there's a couple things going on. One, I think in general Portland is at a point where it's trying to figure out what it wants to be when it grows up.
Right. You know? That's true.
And there's a lot of disagreement, you know, like about what that should be. And I would say it's inevitable in some time span. Portland is a relatively large city on the West Coast of the United States. It's almost inevitable it becomes a much bigger place and a more kind of mature place. But Portland's also a place that historically, at least just going back a few decades, but up to now, where people have sort of, they've been leaving someplace to go here. And, you know, like, and a lot of, you know, it feels a lot of people are, there's, for different reasons, you know, it's a, you know, relatively open-minded in a certain way that, you know, a lot of people are kind of coming.
We think we are.
We like to think, you know, as far as it's in the marketing materials, you know, that's what we say. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are coming here because it's not that. You know, or mm-hmm. and so there's always, it's true for a lot of cities, there's a friction between not wanting it to be bigger and, you know, you say better maybe, or more mature, and wanting it to be, when people move somewhere, they don't want it to change, right? Like, that's a thing that happens. A frustration I have, someone who grew up here, is a lot of the people you hear that from are people who moved here and changed the city. Right. You know, so like, you know, there's this tendency to kind of come in. So like, I grew up in Northeast Portland. It was very different 30, 40 years ago. Right.
We're in Northeast.
I grew up in mainly in the Concordia neighborhood.
Yeah.
Before I started out life a little closer in around the Irving Park. And so you've seen a lot of change. And so ironically, a lot of the people that are saying, well, Portland shouldn't change, like, well, you already did. I don't, you know, you already changed the city. You know, look, Alberta is very different than it was. Mississippi is very different than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. And so it's convenient to say, well, now I don't want to change now that I've come and overhauled my little piece of it. Well, you know, I don't, that's convenient, but there's going to be another wave of people that have a different idea. And do you get to say, I actually want to hold on to this because this is what Portland is. So, right, people talk about old and new Portland. Well, we have very different definitions of it. Different definitions. You know, a lot of times people talk about old Portland, talk about 10 years ago. I'm talking about 30 years ago. Right. You know, and so like, so there's waves of change. That's inevitable. It's going to happen. So that's one thing. And I think it's just something that's not, you know, it's interesting to hear people talk about because they want the change that they brought in to be the last change that happens. You know, but that's, what about the people that came before that? But also, you know, there's always, again, big city on the West Coast, there's also forces that are larger than any one place. And there's needs that are larger than any one place. And, you know, Portland's sort of busting at the seams. It's getting really expensive, even though the quality of life seems to be going down. It's because we're not growing. You know, we have to grow to accommodate some of what's here. We're sort of stagnating. And that's also not a place you want to go as a city. You know, you don't want hyper growth. You don't want everything to get gentrified, but you also don't want to stagnate. You know, and so it's a hard balance, and there's not a clean answer to that. But you know, a joke that I was making with a friend, or have made maybe many times, is that the people that gentrified Portland are getting gentrified out of Portland. You know,
sure.
and so like I think that's just like it's context, right? You know, a lot. And I remember when, you know, going back to when, you know, Alberta, which was like the blueprint for how to gentrify an area in Northeast Portland, the people that were coming in were saying, well, you know, something like that's not, gentrification is not real. You know, that's, you know, it's just this or that. And now they're complaining that it's happening to them. Their rents are going up and they're getting pushed out. Well, yeah. So, you know, obviously it's real. it might be misunderstood. But it's just something to think about, because we have to think about, or is that a kind of a pivotal point? Well, what do we want to be in 50 years? you know, and I think that we need more leadership that is looking 50 to 100 years ahead. What kind of city do we want to be? Not how do we resist changing? And I think there's that's part of what's going on. There's this kind of, we want things to stay exactly as they are, except how they are is not very good right now. So why would we want that? And so, you know, it's a fun, again, kind of a funny dynamic, you know, when you see it, especially if you can see it objectively. But Portland has some growing up to do, you know. I think that's part of what's going on.
Where do you think it's, I mean, I don't know. I know this is just, you don't have a crystal ball, but you're a native, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think it is going to be in, I don't know, 30 years?
I really don't know. I think there's a few big things that are happening that indicate some change is going on, that some larger change. And by that, I mean, there's things like the South Waterfront development. There's potentially things like the area around Albina. There's things like a Major League Baseball team possibly coming here. Those are big things that transform a city. And that's just kind of talking kind of economically and kind of on development level, but like those will change the city, but it also indicates that there is an interest by really large entities that have a lot of money.
Live Nation. Yeah.
Like Live Nation. Right. Like to, you know, Portland's kind of a blank slate. And when that happens, and this is not to say this is good or bad, but like when that happens, there are international financial interests that want, it's real estate, it's development, mm-hmm. that want a piece of that. Portland has seen that before. We've been in waves of that. I think that's going to come. I like to joke that it's gentrification 3.0. You know, it's like, and I don't think it's going to be, you know, cupcakes and like dog parks. You know, like I think it's going to be much, much higher level.
Off leash.
Off leash, right? Bike lanes everywhere. You know,
plastic sticks.
Right. You know, I think that becomes the marketing of a lot of it. This has happened before, but I think it's just going to be on a kind of a larger scale. That's just like my inkling. I don't know, but you just see the things that are, if you know, the things that are in the works. People that build, is it the Hyatt? Like the Hyatt that just went on downtown where the food carts were on 10th and Oliver. I think that's a higher interest. Mm-hmm. Those don't get built in a vacuum. Those get built because of an understanding of where certain things are going, right? That's a huge luxury and residential hotel.
Oh, are you talking about the Ritz?
I'm talking about the Ritz. Now. Yeah, not the Hyatt. Okay. The Hyatt is a convention center there, right? So
yeah.
The Ritz is, I can't keep track of my luxury.
Well, the Ritz is empty. I mean, yeah.
That's a whole conversation because it's an interesting choice. But to me, it also indicates that there's things in the works, you know? And that's
okay. I mean, it's happened, you know, it's up.
Yeah, it's up.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the way I just said it sounds conspiratorial. It's just, I just look at it as just.
No, it doesn't at all.
It's economic forces, you know, and so that makes me assume that there's a wave of investment that's going to come into Portland in the near, probably 5 years, that's going to transform a lot. And, you know, it's just generally how cities work, you know.
Well, and 5 years ago, it was coming in, right? Like the Ritz was, yeah, maybe even before that, I think, because that was a huge project and it was delayed for so long, issues of financing, whatever. But, you know, when it was coming in, things weren't like this. I mean, it was, as they are in the status quo, it was a different place. And so I think the idea was, hey, we can, there's this market here to elevate casual Portland, you know. I like to joke that like when I get off the plane at PDX, I know exactly where I am every single time. And it's not, I mean, sure, it's PDX and it's a distinct airport. It's my home airport, but also just everybody who's here, I mean, it's pajama pants and slippers and sometimes no shoes, sometimes just socks. Sometimes, I mean, it's faces full of metal. It's like, it's just, it's different. It's, you know, you get off the plane in New York City. Yeah. Every city has their own distinct, and this is why I like it. Everybody's, and in some, it's just about how everybody's different. You know, like I feel that way about New York. Like I feel that way about, to some extent, LA, actually. Maybe you get off the plane and everybody looks very, very different. You know, it looks like there are a fair amount of wealthy people, a fair amount of poor people, a lot of in-betweens, and everybody has their own style and thing and whatever. And they're put together or they're not, or but they're all blended in one place, just like it would be. Going, they're all traveling. And Portland, to me, is very similar. I mean, it's not as much of a patchwork, not just racially. Racially, yes, but also just what people look like, I think. I mean, it's not just pajama pants. It's like the hiking pants that come apart at the knee just in case there's a trail down the road, you know? And they were on the plane because they just have 50 pairs of them. Or shorts that have a zipper on the bottom. You know, they're shorts, but clearly there's something more to this. And they can throw that on if it happens to be chilly and they get off the plane. I mean, it's just, it's a whole culture. You don't see that everywhere.
No, not in the same way. Well, you know, Portland, the Northwest as a whole is kind of an interesting place. It has its own history.
It does.
And it's, but, you know, the relatively recent history is it's been a place. It's a counterculture place. I mean, the whole West Coast kind
of
place,
totally.
You know, like, you know, if people come because they can come and do whatever they want. That's what the West Coast is.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, you know, people, you know, whatever your thing is.
It's very libertarian.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's kind of where I was getting. There's always this really been this funny thing in Oregon. It's true. I think it's true in Washington, too, where there's this combination of, like, socialism and libertarian, like these kind of trends that they don't make any sense on paper together, but they come together in like this really strange way. And you know, they collide, right? You know, and I think there's
an explosion
for a lot of folks coming in who, you know, maybe just moved here or relatively new to a place like Portland. They have a certain sense of it. They saw Portlandia.
Yeah.
You know, they came here for 2 days in July, you know, and they think it's a certain way. They have, you know, they paid $8 for a cup of coffee and they're like, this is heaven. And they underestimate or don't see that there's this whole other thing, undercurrent that's always been here. That's this kind of, I mean, in political terms, yeah, it's kind of super libertarian, but this is a frontier. This is a frontier territory.
Totally.
People came here to do whatever the hell they want to do. You That's know, right. And sometimes that means they're going to wear pajama pants and go, you know, to whatever protest happens.
And nobody's going to tell them.
Other times that means that, you know, they're armed to the teeth and they want to, you know, be left alone in their out woods and whatever. And, you know, to each their own for both of those. But like those are, there's this when people
are there that many of those?
Well, in Oregon,
like Unabomber types or something.
I'm not saying Unabomber type. I'm just saying, you know, people have
that's just
ideas.
Where my mind went. Yeah,
people have different ideas of what it means to come in and do whatever you want. That's what, you know,
and
without realizing that someone might be completely different than you and be expressing that in a totally different way, which is fine. That's how it should be. Until you get to a point where, well, you should be able to do whatever you want except for what you're doing. You know, except for anyone who disagrees with me, except for anyone, you know, like that's where, and so there's just this funny tension that's always happened that is here and that collision is kind of funny. But it also, it's interesting to watch people realize that they're not in the place they thought they were. But, you know, Portland.
How do you see that play out?
Well, you know, so I, so a good example of that, Well, this is maybe an example of something else too. I will always remember a conversation I had with, I worked at a nonprofit. It was partially funded by the city. And we had a time when someone, one of the people who from the agency that funded us came in to talk to a group of us. We were all native Northeast Portlanders. And this person moved here maybe 2 years ago. And they proceeded to lecture us about the history of Oregon. And did you know that racism existed, basically? And have you heard of gentrification and all this stuff? And went on and on.
And, was this a white person?
Yes. And you know, they had read a book about it. They had got a master's degree. Yeah. Like they were telling us, "Well, I got my master's when I was in whatever state, and I learned about this. Did you know about this?" And it was so that sort of thing happens a lot. But like that was like that's kind of seared in my brain, mostly because of how the how the rest of the meeting went, which you know, it wasn't. You know, that wasn't received very well, you could say.
But
do you
think there was a recognition that wasn't received? I mean, sometimes there's not.
I think by the end, yes, but I think it had it had more to do with if there wasn't a recognition that of what had actually happened, of in that case what they had actually done. And their own behavior in that. It was, you know, they thought right. I think they had a lot of ideas about, you know, why we didn't take that very well, rather than maybe they should do their homework and maybe, you know, understand, it's nothing like telling somebody their own experience to sour a relationship.
It's very audacious. You
know? It is very audacious. And it goes to, again, that kind of, there's, yes, you can learn a lot about a place. If you get a master's degree and you read a lot of books about a place, it doesn't mean you know anything about the place. You just, you know, and it also, you would hope that someone's curious enough to want to know more and actually talk to people that have, they can tell you what their experience is, and then you can have that conversation. Anybody's willing to have that conversation. But to come in and tell people what their experience is and then tell them how they should think about it and what they should, you know, which is the other part of it, is audacious is one word, you know, it's a, maybe a little too nice, but you know, I think, you know, that sort of thing happens, but you know, those are certain things that, you know, that sort of experience drives a lot of kind of what I was thinking about writing the show and making the show was that type of dynamic. Right. And these weird kind of power dynamics and this kind of just obliviousness to people's reality, you know, like this idea that if I
a lack of curiosity,
Yeah. And more that, you know, there's been a tendency in our city. This is not, you know, it's not been forever, but there's been a tendency for that lack of curiosity. They want to come in and they want it to make it their own place and without recognizing the people that are already here. And they might have some ideas and some input about that. And so I think that it plays out in a lot of different ways. And in the show, you see it's a lot of pretty mundane day-to-day things. You know, the whole show structure, the episodes are, you know.
I love it. It's bus stops.
Yeah. Hassan hates getting coffee. Hassan hates waiting for the bus. These are all just, you know, black men in Portland trying to get through his day, and people won't
Yes.
Right. You know, that's sort of the thing, you know. And it's,
I mean, I know it's sort of hyperbolic, but do you think I have to ask you this because I'm not a person of color. Is that a running theme? When you are black in Portland, you're just trying to get through your day and people won't leave you alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you have dreadlocks, which I used to.
Really?
Some of that song actually a long time ago, but no, it is. It's a running, it's a thing, you know? And, And part of that is that, especially in a pretty undiverse place, at least the undiverse areas of Portland, there's what can happen is it feels like there's a tendency for people to they want to pull you into their play, and then you're going to play a part. And a part is you're the Black guy in my play about who I am, right? And who they are is, you know, who knows? There are certain
kinds. You're not the main character. They are.
And so that again is a very, it's a power dynamic that is kind of messed up. And so people want to pull you into that, and they want you to play a certain part because they have ideas about what it means to be a Black guy, especially Black guy in Portland. They're going to tell you, and you're going to reinforce something they believe about themselves, which usually means helps them look good, right?
They're not racist.
They're saviors of some sort. They're your ally, and they're going to tell you these things, and it has nothing to do with you, you know. And that's where it really can right. be. You know, it's really can be diminishing if you're not careful. It's just a different kind of racism that it has the same end result, which is putting you in a small box and being at the service of somebody because they have some ideas about who you are. And so it's a constant thing, not for myself, a lot of folks I know, a lot of friends of mine. It's a thing you sort of have to be defensive about because people want to be in your business. And, you know, and sometimes it's innocuous, but sometimes it's not. You know, and there's,
how disruptive. I mean, you got to get somewhere. It's like,
just trying to walk down the street, you know,
yeah, right. I'm trying to get to work on time.
And people want to have an experience with you, you know, and it's exhausting. Right. And so that's, you know, if in the trailer that you saw, that's why, you know, the tagline in the trailer is, you know, like, fight for your right to be left the F alone, right? Like, yeah. I just want to get on the bus and I want to mind my own business and listen to some music or whatever it is. I don't want to have this conversation
about your race.
I'm very comfortable as a black man. Like, I don't want to talk to you about it. This person I don't know. Like, and I don't want to answer your questions. You know, it may be the last thing I want to talk about, but that's all
right.
You know, this type of person in these experiences does want to talk about. You know, that's whether they're curious or whether they just want to pat themselves on the back. Whatever it is, and so a lot of what's in the show. I mean, it all draws on real experiences. Obviously, they're fictionalized versions of them, but there are things in there I couldn't make up. There's the episode called Hassan Hates Getting Coffee that I mentioned. It's a coffee shop where they tell him as he walks in, he doesn't have to pay because it's reparations happy hour. You know, that they have this whole thing where, you know, during this time, you know, Black people don't have to pay, which is crazy, right? That was a real thing that happened in Portland.
White people are telling you this, though, yes. Right? Yeah, the white yeah, people that run yeah, the coffee yeah, shop. Yeah.
This is a real thing that happened in Portland. Like, I didn't make that up.
It doesn't surprise me. That's why everybody thinks it's so funny.
and so, like, it's absurd, like, on the face of it. But it actually, you know, that sort of thing passed as something of a decent enough idea to try it out in a place like Portland. And it, you know, that tells you so much, right? You know,
they think they're solving racism, right? I mean, right. That's what,
one cup of coffee, they're doing a good thing, you know.
It's this to them, isn't it the equivalent of donating 5 cents a cup to Habitat for Humanity or something, right?
Yeah. And again, you know, I think it goes back to,
but you're the one who needs to be helped.
I'm the one who needs to be helped. No, actually, I want to pay for my coffee, and then I want you to leave me alone. You know, I don't.
Right,
I don't.
And now you become the subject of this.
And now, right, exactly. And so there's this objectification that happens, or can happen, you know, in situations like that or any of these situations, and you have to be defensive. Really, you have to really avoid God. It because you don't want to get pulled into somebody else's, you know, game where you're a pawn and you're serving a purpose that has nothing to do with you. That's not empowering to you. It's empowering to them or their social status or, you know, whatever it is they think they're getting out of that, out of that deal. But it's nothing to do with me. And I don't, you know, I don't want anything to do with it.
they don't know anything about you.
No, no. And so, yeah, exactly. And, you know, for there to be a savior, there has to be someone to be saved. Right. And so if someone has that kind of idea that they're, that's the savior type.
Yeah.
You need to be a certain type of, you know, you need to be in distress. You need to, you know, have a certain experience. It's like you'll have, people will tell you what that experience is because you're Black. You've done this and therefore I'm going to help you. Well, you don't know anything about me. You have no idea who I am.
And like you said, the assumption is you're down here.
Right.
And I'm up here and I'm going to pull you up.
Yeah. And that's just reinforcing a power structure, right? Like that's, yes. And they don't see that.
Of course
they don't
it
see
is.
That that's the exact same power structure that they say that they're fighting, right? Like, but they're reinforcing it because it's keeping me in one place and needs you up there. But they think it's different because they're saying that they mean well, they want to help. So, you know, it's complex, but it's like, I think that's a kind of blind spot that people need to see more because they're actually, I don't think a lot of times it's insidious or malicious. Sometimes it is. I think a lot of that stuff is so ingrained that people don't even understand that they're just expressing the different side of the coin of that same thing, you know? And what they're really not seeing is how is that affecting the person that you're talking with, whether that's me or somebody that looks like me, how is that affecting? Is that helping anyone? Is it actually damaging that person? Are you seeing them for as a human being, or are you just projecting an idea of who they are based on how they look and then going
and what they want
and what they want, right? You know, and they always want something, you know,
that you need help and I can help you.
Right. Right.
Which are major assumptions,
you know,
and then I'm going to do it with a cup of coffee.
Right. So it's, if you're not careful, you know, it's really, you know, that can be mentally, psychically exhausting. It can make you really, you know, it can make you, you know, you get a lot of feelings of anger, you know, and a lot of, so you have to do something with that. And so, you know, part of what I was doing just for myself, making this show, like we have to find a way to laugh about. Like, because this is too much to care.
Well, it is
like,
fun.
And we want it to be, you know, because it also, you know, but it's, you know, have to be cathartic because this is too much to carry.
Yes.
You know, and also, I don't think enough people are seeing that this is happening, and I want people to see it, you know, and I want them to see, you know, essentially in the show, the main character Hassan is, he doesn't say a lot. We sort of see this stuff through his eyes. And a lot of that is just like, we're just holding up a mirror. Like, just so you know what this looks like from the outside, this looks crazy. Like, this is, you know, like, we don't even need to comment on it. Like, this is crazy, right? You know, so a lot of that is just kind of being that mirror so that people, you know, I think people recognize parts of the city or the city, you know, in that. And kind of the absurdity that can happen, you know, and hopefully they, you know, walk away with a different understanding of the place.
I think that's brilliant, the way that you were talking, and that's true. All the clips I've seen, the Hassan character sits quietly and the white savior, I guess, is talking at them.
Yeah.
Is performing. They're performing.
Yeah.
And waiting for some reassurance, or they're touching him. White characters, they're touching him, they're in his space, you know, they're screaming, they're crying, it's just, it makes you wonder as you're watching it, you're thinking, who else are these people doing this to?
Right.
But then it's like, no, I think it's just this group of people. I think we've just decided, people, particularly Black people. And I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's about George Floyd in 2020. I don't quite know, but particularly Black people need us to help them from us.
It precedes 2020.
Have you seen this your whole life here?
It's different. It's different. It has accelerated a lot. No, not exactly. Portland was a very different place in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
Portland was, yeah. It was a kind of,
I mean, that's how I remember it.
Off the map, blue collar-ish, kind yes. of, you know, kind of rugged place. And I liked it that way, you know.
Yeah.
And so the, you know, racial dynamics were very different. I mean, they were very different in the United States overall. There was different things that's going true. On, you know.
There was less integration, for one thing.
There was definitely less integration. At the same time, you know, there was, like, in Northeast Portland, there was a concentrated Black population, you know.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, to the point that, so it was, the dynamics were totally different. It started shifting in the late 90s and early 2000s when there was started being an influx of people coming into Portland, moving here for different reasons. But, you know, the younger kind of, you know.
Where people go to retire.
Where people go to retire. Yeah.
And 20-year-olds go to retire.
Exactly. You know, it was that, you know, that. And that's when it started shifting in that direction. And then I would say it accelerated, you know, I don't know, 2010 or so, it started just okay. going more and more and more, and then blew wide open in 2020, okay. with everything yeah. that was going on. But it's been going on for a long time. And, you know, again, like, I want to, you know, I made this show about Portland, but I think this is true in a lot of places, right? I think this mm-hmm. is true, especially in a lot of places that have a similar kind of, you know, that are very white places that are also very progressive. The combination of those things leads to a lot of very strange, kind of messed up racial dynamics that the ones I'm describing, you know, I think that's kind of a part of the equation.
Ironically.
And, yeah. Ironically, right? You know, it leads to a really kind of different kind of racism. And, yeah. You know, to the point that you had in 2020, 2021, you know, all the protests and everything going on, there were groups of white kids going down MLK, burning buildings down in the Black neighborhood on MLK. I mean, they went up to Boys yeah. and Girls Club. You know, I used to go to the Boys and Girls Club. And they were doing it to supposedly address racial inequality, but you're
to keep you from being shot by the police.
But,
yeah.
Right. But, like, you're a mob of white kids coming down and okay, burning things. That looks the same no matter what your political
and Black businesses.
Is, right. You know, Black businesses. Yeah. Right. So, like, for me personally, that was when I realized, like, we're in a whole different situation where oh, this has gone off the rails. Like, this has nothing to do with me or with us. This has something yeah. to do with this kind of really crazy, this really intense performance, like you said, where they don't even understand what they're doing. They don't understand the neighborhood they're in, the people that they're affecting. And so,
didn't talk to anybody.
No, you know, and that's where you get to, you know, one of the things we put out on our social media with the show, there was a joke meme we put out about people have a Black Lives Matter sign in their yard, but they won't look you in the eye, but they won't make eye contact. You know, it's that dynamic, you know, where they're performing. They don't want to, you know, they don't actually want to talk to you. They don't want to.
Well, it's too hard.
It's, yeah. Make it, you know, you might.
It's too uncomfortable.
You know? You know, but they mean well. So, no, I mean, this has been going on for a long time, but it has really shifted. And, you know, it's based, I think, in something we were talking about, you know, Portland's, you know, history, a countercultural place. That's a really cool thing. I mean, the Northwest produces a lot of great stuff, you know, the Northwest, not
music,
Portland, the North,
yeah.
Nirvana, you know, like, yeah. You know, really good. There's great hip hop has come out of here. There's great art. That's, you know, so that has been really good.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just saw your post about that. That was great.
Yeah.
Benson
yeah.
High School and yeah.
Yeah, 100%, you know, but it's sort of got, I don't know what the word is, that dynamic kind of got co-opted, or at least it got kind of.
I mean, I just don't see much of it anymore. I mean, I see
Yeah.
See, I don't see a lot of music. I don't see much going on at all anymore. I think it's going to shut down at like 9 p.m.
It got watered down more than co-opted. You know, it got like the idea of it brought people here, but like the result wasn't more of it. It was, it's sort of a Portlandia version of that,
you know,
but not the real thing, you know? And you know, there's still good stuff going on here. Don't get me wrong. But I hope that in the future, there'll be more of it and kind of a resurgence of that. I want to see more of that because that's the stuff I love, you know, that's the stuff that I think we're really good at. And that I want to kind of, that we could put out there and, you know, that's the story I hope we tell more about ourselves, if that type of art, those type of movements that happen and have happened kind of organically and not just sort of a, you know, not just kind of, that's just sort of died. It's something happened, you know, and I hope it didn't die. It's just kind of on the back burner. It's going to come back raging and do great stuff. Because I think, you know, part of what, you know, with this show, but, you know, is true is I know so many really dope artists of different kinds and that are in Portland, but it's almost like the city doesn't recognize it. You know, they have sort of an idea. They only want to see like a very narrow.
They think they do.
Right.
They think with the arts tax, they're going to fund all this. People doing watercolors in their garage or something and elevate them.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't. Yeah, you're right. It's so myopic.
Yeah.
The focus or what they think. Again, it's, you know, what the city thinks people need, what the city thinks artists need, but there's not a lot of discussion about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it also can be, you know, I've experienced this. I know a lot of other artists I know in the city have, where there is, it's the same sort of dynamic where there can be the city as kind of, as a whole, as a kind of dominant culture, wants to see certain types of Black artists or certain types of brown artists or certain types of artists, period. And this is the stuff that Portland is. And try to say this is, and anything outside of that doesn't fit. So we're just going to pretend it doesn't exist. But most of everyone's outside of that. So it kind of keeps putting out this idea of like, that I don't think is helping, you know, I think it's
cultural
just kind of
superiority or something.
You know, it's just ignoring what the kind of grassroots of what people are actually doing.
They're artists. They're all going to do different things. Like you said, grassroots, you know,
and not just predefining it.
Yeah.
You know,
they're creative, but we're boxing them in.
Yeah. And I, you know, that just never get good results with art, right? That way. That's not how art works. So I, you know, I, it does give me a lot of faith just because I said, there's a lot of really talented people in Portland. There's a lot of really good artists. A lot of them just kind of hiding out. And doing work. I mean, that's what, you know,
All of a sudden this feed appeared on my Instagram and I was like, what is this?
But I've been at it for a long time, you know.
That's what Adam said. Yeah.
And so
I have no idea.
A lot of artists I know, and some I don't know, you know, are doing the same thing. Part of it's good for that. It's a good place to kind of, you know, hunker down and do your thing and kind of refine, you know, find your voice and all that stuff because no one's paying attention, you know? But we would do better if we could find a way to then, you know, find more of those folks and put them out and help them define kind of the next era, you know, of the city, which, and I hope we do.
Thank you. So much. What do we need to know about the show?
Hassan Hates Portland on YouTube. You'll find us at Jumptown TV. That's our channel. We have 8 episodes coming out. Instagram's really active.
I had no idea you could do whole episodes on there.
Yeah, well, you know, they're pretty short episodes.
I know, but still.
And, well, I didn't know you can't either, but we are.
That is great. You know? It's so accessible.
You know, I, you know, it's, we just kind of made the decision to just kind of put it out as widely as we can on different, because some people are on TikTok, some people are on Instagram, some people are on YouTube. We want it available to whoever, and people can see it or share it however they want. And rather than try to spend our time convincing people to go to one place or another. So, you know, it's, this is, you know, we're just kind of, in some ways making it up as we go along, you know, but it's, there's no really no rules for it. I just want it to, you know, get out. And so make that easy for people. So you can find us on any of those, but our Instagram is the most active, we have the most content on there. We're putting stuff out, you know, every day, based around the show or around the ideas of the show. You know, something I didn't mention that is the star of the show, Hassan Thomas. That's my boy. We've been friends for a long time. I've been trying to convince him since we met to be on screen.
Is he an actor by trade?
No, not an actor.
You just knew.
First day we met. First day we met, I told him he should be on screen, and he blew me off for years. And I joke with him that it took me putting his name in the title and making the star of the show for him to finally agree.
Apparently.
And I'm so glad I did. You know, it really, we know each other well. We have a lot of similar experiences. We've kind of, you know, commiserated. It's been a long process. You know, we've been making this show for almost 2 years now, and
wow,
and it's a lot longer developing it and writing it for. Just a shout out to him. And he's in Portland, and he's like me, hates it, but that's because he loves it.
What, anything else that we need to know, or do you have any other projects going on? You must.
I do. I have several.
I mean, probably maybe not that you can talk about, but how do we stay in contact with your media programs?
So you can find me on social media, on Instagram, but you can also find me through my website, jumptownfilms.com. I also put out an occasional newsletter that you can sign up through my website about the projects I have going on. I am putting the finishing touches on an anthology of short films that I've been making here for the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
And that'll be coming out sometime later this winter. You can find all that stuff through, very different than Asante's Portland. They're very, very not
okay, that's exciting.
Kind of, you know, it's a
heavier.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can find me through my website, and please do.
Misha, thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris. It's good talking with you.